laid upon his heart. May he bring it forth in power and for your glory. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, as Pastor Don mentioned, 3 days ago, we celebrated the 4th of July, which, you know, it's the anniversary of our nation's independence, and that's the day that our country basically throws pretty much the biggest party of the year. You know, we have backyard barbecues and picnics, and people get off of work, and there's fireworks. And like many people, I enjoy the freedom to blow off fireworks. And anybody knows me, they know that's the kind of stuff I love to do. And it's nice being able to make all those explosions and not have the police be called on you, you know? But, of course, our freedom is about much more than picnics and fireworks. 237 years ago, this freedom that we take for granted was earned the hard way by the blood, sweat, and tears of our founding fathers, those early settlers to the country who basically were in bondage to the nation of England. They were oppressed by high taxes. They were ordered around by the military. They were controlled by a far-off king, King George, I believe, and he really didn't care about the people. He only cared about the wealth that they could produce for him. So these people, they risked their lives, you know, to leave their homes, their countries, so they could escape religious persecution and oppression. And then they came to America because they believed and they would have freedom there. And they wanted this freedom to live and to worship as they desired. But now what was happening was that very freedom that they came over here for was being taken away bit by bit every day. And it seemed that, you know, there was this day, there was a new law, and then there's a new tax, and then there's some other new burden, there's a new regulation. Sort of reminds me of a little bit of today. And now the king was even going to try to force the religion of force the Church of England down their throats. That's today, the religion of socialism that we're getting thrown down our throats. The Puritans now understood that it was no longer just a battle or a matter of economics or politics, but now it was turning into a matter or a battle of faith and religion. They had left Europe to escape that oppressive authority of the state-run church. Imagine having a government-run church. They take over our health care, and now imagine if they would want to take over religion and say, from now on, the only church will be our church, the state church. Well, that's what they had in England. And that's what the king was trying to push now all the way across the ocean onto these people. And they weren't going to stand for that. They were willing to die to fight against that. And so the people, they had finally had enough after trying over and over and over to, you know, to deal with these issues, to send letters over there, to send ambassadors over. They did everything they could to try peacefully to resolve these problems, but it didn't work. Their voice was not heard, and so finally on July 4, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted by our Congress here. And after the delegates had signed this now famous declaration, there was a man by the name of Samuel Adams. You may have heard of him, and not just on a beer bottle, but there was a man, a real man by the name of Samuel Adams that was part of that whole group of men there. And he said this: "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." Those are the kind of people that founded this nation. This was the kind of vision that they had for our nation. A people who honored God, who loved God, the Christian God, not other false gods. They all knew it. It was so well known that, unfortunately, they didn't write it right into the Constitution because they just assumed that everybody would always know what they meant. In those days, everybody knew that they were talking about Jesus Christ. The man who signed this Declaration of Independence did so at great personal risk to their property, for their safety, and even for their lives. Of the 56 who signed the Declaration, 5 were arrested by the British as traitors. 12 had their homes looted and burned to the ground. 17 lost all their fortunes, and many of these were very wealthy men and landowners. 2 of them lost their sons to the war, and 9 of them lost their own lives in the war, out of just 56. So you see that these, and they all suffered. They all were involved in many ways, but they were willing to do whatever it took to get that freedom. And this freedom was brought at a tremendous cost, and I thank God that we live in a country that even to this day, as Pastor Don just mentioned, it's still relatively free. I know there are people out there who would like to take away many of our freedoms, and they've had some success in many areas where, you know, we see little things being taken away here and there, but we can still worship where we want. We can still worship who we want. We can still, when we want. We can still live and work wherever we want. We can still marry who we want and have as many children as we want. We can still travel freely. We can leave our country and actually come back. Every one of those things I said, there are many nations where you can't do any of those. So we still have quite a bit of freedom in this country to be thankful for. And as important as this freedom is, there's an even more important freedom available to us, and that's the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Did you know that God destined us to be a free people from the very beginning? That was always His plan. Only a free people can choose to follow God. That's what He's always wanted. He's always been looking for a people who were after His heart, a people that He could call His own, a people that would choose to follow them of their own free will. Only a free people can choose to walk in the destiny or the purpose that God had purposed for us or for them from the very beginning. We've been talking about, accepting the call, about our purpose, our destiny, and we can't walk in that if we don't have any freedom. All the way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" God warned Adam not to eat the fruit of just one tree. One tree out of a whole garden full of trees. Why? Because it would harm him. It was protection. That's why God did it, not to limit his freedom, but to keep him alive so he could enjoy his freedom. He was free to eat from every other tree in the garden. But of course, Satan the deceiver came on the scene, and he tried to get them to believe that God was somehow holding them back and taking away their freedom. Genesis 3:1, did God really say, "You must not eat from any tree in the garden"? See, right away he's trying to put doubt in their mind. He knew that's not what God said. He comes to fill their head with doubts about God himself and his word. Unfortunately, they ended up falling for the lies of Satan, and they ended up losing their freedom, and ours too. Now everyone is born into captivity, into sin, into this sinful flesh that we have to deal with throughout our life until we come to that saving knowledge. But Jesus has a message for us, and this is what he said in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom. Freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Who's the prisoners? Who's the blind? Who's the oppressed? That was us. That's everyone who does not know the Lord. Jesus died on the cross for us so that we could be set free from the bondage of sin and death, so that we could be, you know, released from the grip or the clutches of the enemy as he tries to drag us down away from God and eventually bring us down into the pit of hell with him. Remember that God's desire is that no one should perish. That was his desire from the beginning. That's his plan. He wants all of us to receive this gift of freedom that he graciously offers us so that we can escape the clutches of death and instead receive eternal life. So what exactly have we been set free from? What is this freedom that we enjoy in Christ? Well, the first thing that we're set free from is slavery to the bondage of sin. Satan is a master of deception, and when he tempts us to sin, he tells us to break away from the old things, the old ways, the stuff that's been there. He tells us, you know, you got to leave that behind. You got to leave your ways behind, the ways you've been taught, the ways your parents or your church or, you know, the Word of God has taught you. You need to leave those old ways behind, that those old things that are constraining you. He tells people that he deceives them into believing that we're in bondage because of God's Word and the good things that we have learned. And he tells us that we need to be free to try other things that just might be more satisfying. So he convinces us that we are in control of ourselves and that we can easily untangle ourselves if we don't like where this new path leads to. Oh, just try it, and if you don't like it, you can get out of it. Instead, we find that the sin that so easily entangles is not so easy to get untangled out of. Once we step into those kind of ways and we get going in that new pathway that leads down, it's hard to break free. It is. It's not that it can't be done. It sure can, but it's a lot harder to get out of sin than it is to get into it. It's very easy to get in. It ends up taking control of our fleshly desires, the things that this flesh desires, to the point where we once again, or maybe for the first time, or however many times, we become enslaved again to sin. John 8:34, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." But thankfully, just two verses later in John 8:36, he tells us, "But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus died so that we could be set free from the power of sin. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So the first thing we see is that we can be free from that bondage of sin. You know, when we have a relationship with Christ, when we know His Word, we know His truth, when we've been set free, we see through the deceptions and the lies of the enemy. Another thing that we've been set free of is guilt. Because whenever we've sinned, we've always experienced, all of us have experienced guilt to some degree. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. God's word tells us that he remembers our sins no more. That though our sins they be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. He just pushes those sins aside and he says he'll remember them no more. He casts them as far away as the east is from the west. And he wants us to forget that past too, those sins, because he knows that they'll hold us down if we hold on to that and feel that guilt. And he wants us to forget what is behind and press on towards the goal, like Paul says, towards the mark of our high calling. He wants us to walk in our destiny, in our purpose. And that won't happen when we are constantly burdened and bogged down in guilt, in this quicksand of guilt, in this endless reruns of guilt as we just let them wash over. I can't do that. I always fail. I've done this. I've done it so many times. I'll never go forward. And we just start cutting ourselves down. If we've truly repented and God has forgiven us, it's done. It's over. It's time to pack it up and move forward. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin so that we will draw closer to God. The devil condemns us for our sin so that we will run away from God. Huge, huge difference. So when you have sinned in some way and you're feeling alienated from God, and if you've already confessed it, you've confessed that sin, and you feel like, you know, you have to run from God, that's the devil condemning you. That's how you know. If you've really tried to repent and you're trying to walk right. But if you haven't repented yet and you feel this something telling you that you've done wrong, that's the Holy Spirit. And you feel you want to go to God, that's the Holy Spirit leading you to God to get forgiveness. If we sin, he is faithful to forgive us. That's what his word tells us. In Christ, we are also set free from our fears. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. But see, if we've dealt with the sin and God says he's forgiven us, there is no more punishment. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The condemnation is done. The guilt is done. The fear of punishment should be done. Unless we're listening to the devil again. It says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. If we got all this fear of God, that's not from God. That's not from him. It means that we haven't received his love yet. We haven't had that. We haven't gotten into that relationship. We're not there yet with God. God's love will cast out that fear of death, the fear of dying, the fear of loneliness, the fear of failure, the fears of a worry and anxiety and whatever our fears are. When we are in Christ, he deals with those things. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind or self-control. God is still on his throne in heaven. He's in control of all things. And Jesus has told us, come to me, all you who are weary, and lay your burdens on me. That's what he's saying. He says, you don't have to hold on to those things like fear. He wants to set us free of those things. In Jesus Christ, we are also freed from the wrath of God. The wrath of God. The punishment. The stuff people don't like to talk about. But there is the wrath of God. There is punishment for failure to repent of sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the reality. When we ignore God and we just go about our life and live in sin, the consequence will be death. And not just dying and going to the grave, but eternal death in hell. Not a pleasant sight, not a pleasant thought or picture, but nevertheless, the truth that we need to know about. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is a freedom that we receive in Christ from death, from the wages of sin. He frees us up from that. The blood of Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are really in Christ, if we've given our heart to God and we've asked Jesus Christ to come into our life and be our Lord and Savior, you know what? There's no condemnation for you. The place that Satan has been setting aside for us in hell will remain empty. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you that you might be with me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go there to prepare a place for you. We don't hear it too often, but the devil's also preparing places for us. One of those rooms is going to be filled and one's going to be empty. We get to choose. We have the choice where we want to go when we're done, when we leave here. In Christ, we are also set free from the letter of the law. And that's a blessing too, the letter of the law. You've heard stories about the Pharisees. They were all hung up on the letter of the law, and Jesus condemned them. Because they were these were the priests that were supposedly the holy people, and they are the ones that added all these laws and made all these rules and all these regulations, and they put this burden on people constantly. You need to do this, you need to do that, you gotta watch out that you don't do this, and on that day you can't do this, at that time you must do that, and if you don't do that, you're gonna be in trouble here. And they're just constantly throwing rules and regulations, almost back like that king was putting on the colonists. And yet Romans 8:2 tells us that through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Totally different thing. See, to be under the law means that when we say that we were under the law, that meant that we obeyed God as a slave, if we obeyed Him at all. And we obeyed Him as a slave in constant fear of punishment, in fear of the crack of the whip, in fear of this awesome, terrible, mean God. And so we did it out of this burden. And God never, ever wanted us to have a relationship like that. That's not how He is. To be under grace, which is what we're under, means that we freely serve God as we are led by His Holy Spirit. And we're still obeying the law in the same essence the same way, but it's now done out of love instead of fear. We don't have to obey all those Pharisaical rules and regulations, but God's word, His commandments, we still obey that even when we're led by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead us that way. That's what He does. In God's Word, it tells us, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. The Holy Spirit gives us the power and the ability to follow the law that God puts on our heart. So we don't have to carry around, some book of rules and regulations. Can I do that? I don't know. Can I do this? We would go crazy if we had written down every single rule that we thought that was in the Bible, and then all the other ones that we thought maybe we better do. And so we got this, maybe we put it on a computer hard drive because we wouldn't be able to write them all. And maybe we could just punch them in, and everything we're going to do every time, every day, punch it in. Can I do this? Can I do that? Would you want to live like that? See, we got a different way that God made for us. He prepared for us. He put something inside of us. He said the gift from above, the promised gift from above, the Holy Spirit. And it says those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and the daughters of God. So now we have a guide. We have a counselor. We have, and these are words that the Bible uses, a guide, a counselor, a comforter, somebody who will lead us into all truth, somebody who will remind us of what Jesus said and what the Word of God says, and so that we can then walk just naturally in love, under grace, and in freedom, and not under bondage. It's called the law of the Spirit of life. And we just read it. I just read it a minute ago. It's in Romans 8, 2. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Big difference. Two different laws. The law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life. One is bondage, one is freedom. One is fleshly, and the other is the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. We want the freedom. We want the law of the Spirit of life. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, over and over we see this word in the Bible, freedom. The Holy Spirit frees us from a life of rules and regulations. Instead, He establishes godly principles, and He guides us naturally and easily through our walk. It can be a very pleasant experience to be obedient to God, a very pleasurable life, a very satisfying, a very fulfilling, a very prosperous life as we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God. He works through us in love, and love is the most powerful motivator in the world. Because of love, because of our love for God, His love for us, we do things out of love. We do things because we want to out of love. When we do something for someone out of love, it's not hard, it's not burdensome. When we do it only out of duty or guilt or fear, then it's hard. When we do it out of love, it's easy. So this love motivates us not only to avoid sin, but to anything that would enslave us again, any kind of sin, all the different stuff, the garbage that had drug us down before. We're set free then to be able to walk in our calling, walk in our purpose, to live our life so that we declare the praises of God in all that we do, what I talked about 2 weeks ago. We've been set free to be able to live and move in our natural element, which is the will of God. As we flow in the will of God, just nice flowing. If you've ever been on a nice, pleasurable, leisurely, maybe a river or a stream or something. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've done this where I think a couple different rivers. In fact, we did it on the Little Colorado River one time in the Grand Canyon. We were in there and with inner tubes or life vests or something, and you would just jump in the water and you would just float down. You get back out at the end, go back up as far as you want, and just leisurely float down. One time we were camping on the west side of Michigan. We got in this river on inner tubes and a little kayak thing or something like that. Our whole family did. And we just floated down this river for a few miles. Just having a nice leisurely floating day. We stopped off a couple little tiny islands. We got a little food here and there. Got stop off and do whatever you want, get right back and just keep floating down the river. Very, very simple. And that's how, pleasurable our life can be when we're in the will of God. We don't have to be in all this turmoil and tragedy and disaster and, you know, where there's no peace and there's only, you know, just harm, it seems like, and tragedy and all these bad things happening, because we're like fighting against the will of God, and we're, you know, we're in these rapids and we got waterfalls and cliffs and sharp rocks and stuff like that. Instead, we flow in God's will. And not that everything always goes smooth, but it's what's inside of us. Knowing that the peace of God is with us, the peace of God that transcends all understanding, even when things do happen, because things will still happen, even as a Christian. But they won't destroy us. They won't steal our peace. They won't steal, away the things that God's given us, because we've been set free to flow in that way. I was thinking of fish and how they live in their natural element, which is water. And you think of those fish, they can swim around in that water. It's real easy life for them. I mean, they can breathe easily as long as they stay in that water, and they can, you know, they can go about their business. But if one of those fish jumps out of the water and lands on dry ground, you ever see fish when they're out on dry ground or when they're in your boat? They start flopping around. They're flopping like crazy. They can't breathe because they get their oxygen out of the water through their gills. And so when they're on the dry ground, they're going to die because they're out of the element that they were created to live in. Now they're going to be in a new element, my stomach. Because I like fish. Well, we were made to live and move and have our being in Jesus Christ, doing the will of God and walking in our destiny. And when we step out of that will, out of His will, we're out of our element. And then we start to flop around like that fish on dry land, and soon we begin to suffocate, just like the fish. And we could even die. It's only in Christ that we can flow in this wonderful freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be hardened again by a yoke of slavery." See, Paul knew that even though we've been set free, we got to be careful. We got to watch out that we don't fall back in to that slavery to sin again. We have to make sure we don't fall for any of the deceptions, Satan's deceptions, where he tries to get us to do whatever he wants, or he tries to tempt our flesh to do what it wants with the old lies that you're free to do whatever you want. See, he wants us to take that freedom and abuse it and say, "Well, I'm free in God. I can do whatever I want. I can run this red light. I can break the law. I can disobey God. And there'll be no consequences because I'm free. I'll just repent later." It doesn't work that way. We don't want to fall back into that bondage again. Galatians 5:13 sums it up pretty nicely. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh or sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So he knew ahead of time that freedom can be a dangerous thing if it's abused. But freedom is a wonderful thing when it's treated the right way. True freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. He's the one who conquered death. He's the one who defeated Satan. He's the one who paid the full price for our pardon. He's the one who washed all our sins away. He's the one with authority to set the captives free. That's what he told us. We read that right at the beginning. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, to give sight to the blind, to set the captives free, to give freedom to the oppressed." And now he has a job for us. Jesus does. And he wants us to be the bearer of good news, not bad news. You know, people say, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but, well, I like to be the bearer of good news. We all should. God is sending us into the prison camps to proclaim that good news, the good news of freedom. And the prison camps are all around us. We don't have to go down to a real brick-and-mortar prison. The prison camps are the hearts of the men and the women and children that are around us, who either don't know the Lord or who may possibly have known him at one time but have sort of walked away and been brought back into slavery again. Even in our own lives, there may be areas where we're in bondage of sin, bondage to fear, doubt, or guilt, or pride, or whatever it might be. And God wants us to be free, and he wants us to share that message of freedom wherever we go with other people, and to take it wholeheartedly into ourselves. He's putting people on our doorsteps. He puts them in our pathways. You know, he puts them next to us in line, or maybe at work. They're all over the place. People who are bound up, are captives, are prisoners. And we've got the key to unlock their locks. We know the way, and the way is Jesus Christ. Many are ready to escape Satan's clutches, but they just need someone to come and let them know that they can enter into freedom, the freedom that only Christ can give. That freedom that was secured on Independence Day, the real Independence Day, almost 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ blew the doors off of hell. He busted in and he broke the chains and set the captives free. Those were the greatest fireworks that were ever seen. And the only one that didn't like them was the devil himself. And now every time someone is saved, every time the works of the enemy are destroyed, every time we enter into prayer or praise and worship, Satan's plans blow up in his face again. As followers of Christ, we can measure our freedom according to the degree that we have given ourselves to Christ. It's strange, but the more we give ourselves to him, the more freedom we have. The more we give, the more we receive. It's a biblical principle that seems unreal almost, but it's true. It works. The question is never whether we will be free or whether we will serve Christ. That's Satan's words. That's the way he speaks. You can either serve Christ or you can be free. That's not where the freedom comes from, apart from Christ. We measure our freedom according to how much we have given ourselves to Christ. The real question is, will we serve Christ or will we serve our flesh? Or the world, or sin, or the devil, and death? Christ or death? Christ or sin? Christ or the flesh? Those are the opposites. Every one of us is free to make this choice, but there's only one choice that will lead to freedom. Jesus says in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Only in Christ Jesus can we find the freedom that we so desperately desire. If I could have the prayer team come up. You know, I think everybody loves to be free. I was thinking just a couple days ago, I was thinking in a sense that You know, we get a little bit older, and in fact, I was talking with one of the young men here, and I said, you know, you think when you get a car, you're going to be free. You remember those days? I can't wait till I get my car so I can be free, you know? I can do what I want. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you find out you got to get money to pay for gas, to pay for the car, to pay for insurance, you know, to pay for your tickets, to pay for your driver responsibility fee from all those tickets. You know, so you find out you're really not free. You've just got another, almost like another burden to take care of. Doesn't this seem that way? I mean, you know, we think we have this vision of the car that sets us free. And there are so many things. That's just an example, you know, of the way that the world thinks of things that set them free. I want to be free, you know, of work. Okay, so what do? Does that mean we go live out on the streets? I want to be free of responsibility, you know, of paying bills. But there's always bills. I mean, there's no freedom in this world as far as the responsibilities that we have, but there is freedom in Christ. Real freedom in Christ that makes all those burdens, all those responsibilities, makes them all seem like they're not that big of a deal. And they're really not when they're put in the proper perspective. So I know we all want freedom. And I know when I was young, that's the first. That I was always thinking of that. You know, you see that in all these countries. You know, you got signs, freedom, freedom. You know, and everybody is always talking about freedom. But it seems like as soon as you get where you were going, when they were declaring that they want that freedom, immediately then the work begins. And in Christ, there is real freedom. You know, and there's work being a Christian. We work as unto the Lord and all the things that we do. But the thing is there is a real freedom that we cannot experience in any other way. Whoever whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we saw those different ways. I told you that we're free. We're free from guilt. We're free from sin. We're free from death. We're free from the wrath of God. We're free from the bondage of all these different, you know, the worry and the doubt and all those things. There's so many different ways that we've been set free. And these are real freedoms. Real things. We don't have to keep paying for it now. It's already been paid. The freedoms that we receive from Christ have already been paid for on the cross. It's not like that car where all of a sudden now, wow, yeah, we got the freedom of the car, but we got 20 new bills to pay. This freedom's been paid for, and this freedom is for us. It's for us, and it's for us to share with others. We've got these prisoners all around us. You know, some people I know say, I would love to be in a prison ministry. Well, we can all be in prison ministry. Because there are prisoners all around us who are in bondage to sin and death. And we can set them free. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that you have given us in Jesus Christ.